Popcorn Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Hi everyone, welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wesley. We do have two other people on this podcast, but before I introduce them, if you're listening to this on iTunes, please subscribe. Please press the subscribe button. We got a Facebook, facebook.com/FCP podcast. We got an Instagram, we got all kinds of things. But first, let me introduce the team. Hey, JB.
Hey, Wes.
How are you?
I'm so glad you're back.
It's good to be back.
It feels like forever. I've missed you.
I missed you.
I miss your introductory skills. It's not the same.
And Rabbit, hello. Welcome.
It's so nice to hear your voice again.
Welcome.
But back to bag, I thought you did a good job of playing host.
You did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Did you listen to them while you were traveling?
It made my day. Oh, I listened to them on my balcony.
And you went to a couple of NBA games.
I did, yeah.
Tell us about that.
I went and saw Kobe Bryant shoot 2-for-11 versus the Heat.
In L.A.?
Yeah. No, in L.A., yeah. I watched Dwayne Wade play, 13 minutes. Did a couple alley-oops and then
sat down. And where was that? Was it in Arizona?
That was in L.A., the Staples Center. Both games were at the Staples Center.
Gotcha. So you didn't go to a Phoenix game?
Nah. I've been to a couple. Mm. Staples Center, after going there, it's awesome. If you ever get a chance to go to L.A., it's pretty hard to have a bad seat in that stadium. So
Phoenix could use your size, though, I think.
they definitely could. They got Len. Come on. So it was fun.
And the food was...
I will say, though, watching it in my living room on my HD TV is a little better.
That's like festivals. It's like we don't go to festivals anymore.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Fuck that. I go to an NBA game. I've never been.
P.S. Before I start, did anyone see that LeBron James is in a movie, a rated R film, with Amy Schumer and Bill Hader?
I think I saw the trailer for it. I believe I did.
Yeah, it's called Trainwreck. It's probably appropriate for LeBron's...
Is it really called Trainwreck?
Yeah. Oh, LeBron looked pretty good, I reckon.
Yeah, he looked
like he was carrying it.
The natural?
Yeah. He's into Downton Abbey.
Yeah, right.
I think it also explains the whole hair thing, why he had hair and then didn't have hair.
Yes.
Oh, touche.
Definitely for the film.
Hollywood Fringe. Yeah. He's running it.
He basically plays a sports doctor's best friend in the film.
Yeah.
Which I find weird because he's not really injured.
He's just a massive whore and she goes around and it's no problem, which is fine.
She's not a massive whore. She's just very outgoing.
No, she's a massive whore. LeBron would have fed her the pipe.
Promiscuous in a city living kind of life.
Yeah, and she's trying to find a man, finds a sports doctor.
Quirky kind of dude.
And what do you know? You know, he's friends with LeBron.
Is LeBron LeBron in the movie?
LeBron is LeBron.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow.
You got to watch the trailer. Check it out. What's it called again?
Trainwreck.
Trainwreck.
Speaking of train wrecks,
New York.
New York. Well, speaking of New York, the All-Star game. Did anyone watch it?
I caught a bit of it.
I'm going to be honest. I tried to watch the game, and I don't care.
The big boys game, the All-Star game.
Yeah, what's exciting about watching people shoot open threes?
No, it's like... always interesting to see who gets awkward about like taking too many shots or not enough shots. So like Dirk comes in and he like, I'm going to get a couple of shots up no matter what. But I've shot two in a row. I better pass it now. Mm. And then Westbrook just doesn't give a fuck and shoots everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's always fun watching the dynamic of that. It's super funny.
I think the most interesting thing outside of the fashion show, which was just amazing, was the conspiracy about, Anthony Davis didn't play. Because he slipped off the ring with a big dunk and injured himself and felt like it was better for him to miss the All-Star game and be healthy for the rest of the season for his team.
Yeah, well, he hasn't played yet and it's killing me in fantasy. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Hurts.
Versus Carmelo Anthony, who knew he was going to shut it down about 3 weeks ago and decided to play in the All-Star game before he shuts it down.
Yeah. Well, obviously, that's his final highlight.
Played 36 minutes.
It's a highlight-free season. He's done.
Yeah.
And they said that. And then versus Davis, who's like, no, you got to play. We want you to play the last half of the season. We want to make the playoffs. That's the Pelicans.
But why? I don't see why that's a good enough reason for a double standard.
Well, it's not up to...
Why does he get to miss the All-Star game?
Who's, who creates the standard, though? Well, that's the big question. It's just the players doing what they want to do.
I think a lot of New York people think you know, hey, we just paid you $129 million for our team not to play at the All-Star game and feel like you're the man. Second highest jersey sales, so I guess he's popular. But then was it the NBA and the franchise of New York that said, hey, you know, it's in New York this year. We really need somebody from New York. I mean, all we have is Plumlee in a slam dunk comp.
That's
we
more
got
than
nothing.
Enough. That's more than enough.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it amazing?
Would anyone have really cared if Melo wasn't there? Like, we miss Melo.
No.
Like, maybe on, like, a corporate level.
Would have seen more Jimmy Butler and other guys like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you got 4 more weeks of rehab for Carmelo Anthony. Pre-operation.
He's not playing this season. It's done. They've shut it down.
But I mean, he knew he had a problem, he should have had surgery instantly. It's kind of the debate.
Yeah, but I think you can, you know, vice versa against what you said about, like, you know, he's done it so many times. So, like, it could be up to him, like, if he wants to play or not. You can't hate him for deciding he enjoys it or he doesn't enjoy it. He wants to play with all the guys.
Where's Phil going? You're on a part of a 5-year plan now. I've signed you a 5-year contract.
It's another topic, dude. And there's a lot of questions about Phil right now.
He's
going to
get
questions.
A feature a little later in the pod, so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, give your opinions.
The dunk comp was actually pretty enjoyable.
It was beautiful.
2 out of 4 guys, but, you know.
100%.
At least, you know, the first dunk... they should have had a gap between Oladipo and
Oladipo and Levine.
Yeah. Because Plumlee was disgusting, and the Greek Freak shat himself in the spotlight or something.
Greek Freak was a massive letdown.
I remember watching it, and I was like, "This is sick! Another epic dunk comp. It's gonna suck."
But who knows? Like, if you had to switch it the other way and opened with one of those guys, maybe like the arena would have got buzzing. But then maybe those guys would have shat themselves even more. Maybe that's not possible. Perhaps.
What about the cue cards on iPad screens? The same color.
What about how they couldn't figure it out?
Yeah, they ditched it.
Yeah, they ditched it.
And props to Dr. J for just, like, I don't know if he was super high or whatever, but just making the whole stadium
wait for him.
Dr. J
just wants the spotlight still. He's cool. He knows what he's doing. But I mean, how big were those dunks?
And
impressive were those dunks? And to do them, like, first attempt, and get everyone out of their seats and shock people and stuff. And he had mad ups. He could have gone bigger.
Well, he said he was sort of playing it relatively safe. So hopefully he comes back and defends it next year, and maybe Wiggins will get involved as well. That'll be super epic.
His score was 194 of 200.
Pretty all time.
Pretty insane.
But, like, when you look it back, he went through the legs 3 times out of 4.
Yeah.
So it's like, it looked a little bit repetitive, but I think, remember, like, when I was watching the actual tournament live, that you were going, all day, just like whip it through the legs all the time.
About the one where he bounced it and then behind the back and dunked?
It's all about
J.R. Smith's done that dunk in the dunk comp before.
I thought
Iggy's done it before.
Well, I don't think they've done it off a bounce.
The impressive thing is how high he got up.
And it was so fluid. He finished the dunk like he was going up for a routine one-hander.
Yeah.
It was flush. As fuck.
Yeah.
I think he's been doing that for a long time too.
But it was great to see everyone excited. And I think everyone, like, the buzz going into the weekend was that the 3-point comp was going to be the pinnacle of the whole weekend. But he really, like, brought that whole thing back to life.
That said, the 3-point shootout was pretty awesome as well.
Yeah. How can JJ Redick, who does nothing but shoot threes, forget where the 3-point line is?
Most long twos ever in the 3-point comp. Killing it.
Oh, foot on the line. He got them wiped off a few
times.
Yeah, that sucks. Curry put the last money ball up, and that would, if he hit that last money ball, it would have been 29.
Yeah, 14 in a row.
So sick.
That was so all time. I thought Thompson was going to win it, and then just shat the bed so hard in the finals, couldn't take the pressure.
Yeah. I mean,
feel bad
but
for
that
Wes
was
Matthews
it.
Too. He got a 22 first up and didn't make it into the second round. That was pretty crazy.
What about how Clay had to go after Curry, and it's like, you miss 3, it's over, bro.
Yeah.
That's how you're going into it. Oh, sorry, you miss 4 and it's over.
Yeah.
And he did it by midway through, it was over.
Yeah.
But what else?
And then what else, the skills challenge, they added a 3-point shot. Just blowing people's minds.
I really like the skills challenge. It was good when people went head to head. That was a nice touch. It's generally
versus time.
A really boring sort of situation.
It's fine.
And Beverly coming from behind both times and taking it out. That was cool. But it's still very gimmicky and shit.
And
but whatever. It's cool.
Chris Bosh winning the half court shot 4 years.
Team Bosh, 3 years in a row.
3 years,
sorry. Yeah, yeah. With Dominique,
he shoots the ball at half court, it looks like a normal shot. He's just shooting.
He's a chick who's with them?
I don't know.
Okay.
Tamika catching.
It's a female.
Yeah, whatever.
And then, I guess, to wrap it up.
Shout out to our female audience. Yeah.
Wrap it up, celebrity match. Who won 4 years in a row MVP?
Kevin Hart. Oh. After he got schooled by a schoolgirl.
I missed that appropriately. But guys, we got to talk about the fashion show.
Oh, I'm so excited. Did anyone watch it, honestly?
No.
No. Like, what a great addition to All-Star Weekend. You know, like, who wants to see, like, a three-on-three comp or, like, one-on-one Durant versus LeBron or something like that?
I want to see the new Westbrook glasses. Yeah,
I definitely want to see what Klay Thompson would wear to a board meeting.
Yeah, I want to see J.R. Smith's new fur coat for sure. Yeah. So cool. What indulgent bullshit, though, really? Like, who was there? Like, 10 of their mates, you know?
Diddy was probably there.
So gross. Mm. It was terrible. And I think JR won it. Boogie sucked. Harden sucked. You know, there was rounds. It all sucked.
Your man LeBron fucking curated it.
It's gross.
Got no time for the dunk comp, but he's got time to do like a second summer.
Yeah, you should tweet him that. Let him know.
He knows.
And did anyone see Anthony Davis's outfit when he was sitting on the sideline?
Channeling Hendrix.
The Hendrix look with the the John Lennon glasses.
You liked it?
He kind of looked like Disco Stu.
He looked. Than
anything. I think he. It obviously, like you say, it didn't really suit his vibe. But I mean, maybe that is him. Maybe he's a rocker.
I think.
What kind of music does he like?
I don't know. He went out of his way to like try and look super edgy and what's current, and because he didn't look comfortable in that outfit. Plus, he's wearing the circle sunnies inside, and he's just sitting there
Puff
by himself.
Daddy.
Yeah, but he doesn't have that vibe. I didn't really rate it. Puff Daddy.
How old is he?
21.
Old enough to know not to wear sunnies inside.
Yeah, but everybody does it.
He has a nice scarf, a little denim going on.
I like the ensemble on certain guys. I just don't think he pulled it off.
Let's not forget, like, last year, Kevin Durant wore a black diamond t-shirt. You know, like, there was none of that. I mean, at least it was kind of urban and, you know, a bit rock and roll. It wasn't like this kind of new age fashion that's like a 7 foot guy or whatever.
Sure. He didn't look comfortable from the movie Almost Famous.
Yeah.
I seriously think he was going for like a Black Crowes sort of vibe. It was pretty weird.
Didn't write it.
All right. Well, that was pretty much the All-Star game and what a fantastic event it was. But I just want to talk about a few random things that have popped up. First one I'm just going to hit you with, it is not scheduled in this wonderful segment, is Rodman came out to Australia recently.
Oh, yeah.
And
overheard a footnote somewhere in the back.
Just a couple of things I'm going to tell you that I think is really interesting. He was talking about all kinds of weird stuff. Like, he was going really in-depth about his dick and, like, how, you know, when he was fucking girls, he cut the bottom of his dick and he was bleeding and all this weird shit. But he says he never did drugs, ever. He said he was a alcoholic. He said he was a massive boozer, but he never did narcotics, never has. And basically, it's because of where he was from when he grew up. He was surrounded by junkies and by people with addict problems, people in his family. I think that's how his mom died. And he swears he never has done drugs. He's an alcoholic. So back to current NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
Westbrook, tearing it up.
Oh,
no Durant.
It's amazing.
Anybody
right
watching?
Now.
Throwing up routine triple-doubles in like 27 minutes like it's no one's business. Mm. The cunt is an avalanche.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
The only way I can
yeah.
describe him is just like a force of nature. He cannot
just
be stopped.
Beast mode.
Right now.
The one
engaged.
Thing I think, though, is like if you're literally shooting the ball almost every possession from the second quarter onwards and you're bringing the ball down and you're basically 80% of the offense for your team when Kevin Durant's not playing.
Mm.
Don't you think you kind of better be getting 30 points a game?
We had 37 shots last night against Phoenix.
Yeah.
But on that set, he had 14 assists. Mm. So he's
definitely be getting better at playing as a teammate. But like, everything's running through him. So of course he's going to be statistically.
Well, same as James Harden. That's a every night thing now, and it seems to be working for them. So I reckon the interesting thing is going to be, you know, in years past, he used to cop so much shit for being too much of a hero
for
when
doing
Westbrook,
that.
When Durant's on the court.
Yeah.
When it comes down to a tight playoff game and he tries to win it on his own, is everyone going to go back into, oh my God, Russell's a terrifying
I don't think
person.
So. And I think if you compared seasons to him and Durant, even though Durant's been injured, he's having a much better season.
Yeah, totally.
He's averaging for the last month 30 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. That's a nearly triple-double for
the
last month.
Say like Westbrook comes back in 2 weeks and they steamroll to the... you know, to the second
all
round or something like that. Who would you rather have the ball in their hands at the end of the game? You know, him, or Westbrook or Durant?
Oh, I think it's a pretty good situation to be in now where you can't snooze on Westbrook. You can't leave him where you can't go send a double to Durant. So if Durant has a better position, it's up to Scottie Brooks to recognize the mismatches and then the matchups and go to whoever.
But that's what I mean. Like,
he's not good at that, Scott Brooks. So I don't know.
Durant, because he can get his shot off no matter what over anybody.
But that's the thing.
The matchups will dictate.
Internally, that is the issue, I think. You know, like, you know, for a team's trying to defend it, it's not going to change too much. But it's like, internally, is Durant going to be okay with that? Because he hasn't been in the past, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Westbrook has certainly come of age and has deserved to take that shot now and is taking those shots now. So it could be a clash, but I think the two of them have played for so long together, they respect each other's game enough to... I mean, if Westbrook takes three game winners in a row and bricks them all, Durant's going to say something, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's my shot next for sure. But I think their relationship is pretty healthy considering the way that team is set up.
But you also have the impending free agency thing now as well.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
You really need everything to go perfect from here on in.
Got to be cohesive as fuck. Yep.
Yeah, if he's not happy at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I think all these injuries have kind of been a bit of a blessing because, you know, say they don't make it to the finals this year, based on the season they've had, I think with all that, the roster turnover and all of this, the injuries and everything, that when they get to the end of it, I think it's a good opportunity for Durant to say, we didn't have a good shot at it this year. I've got unfinished business here. But if everything went perfectly and they didn't make it to the finals, it might give you more of a reason to bail. But you've got to be worried about that if you're OKC, right?
Very true. The thing is, this might have maybe a slight 10%, 20% chance OKC are looking at it going, well, like a front office are going, fuck, like Westbrook can run this team. Westbrook can, maybe if Durant walks or he's not happy, it's not obviously be crushing, but it's not like, oh, fuck, we're stuck in rebuild mode now. You know, if he goes next year, you could make a pretty good team with Westbrook.
Who's coming to play with Westbrook, though?
You need like... sort of, role players, I guess, like good role players.
Yeah.
Well, like take Miami, for example. Miami's starting five is probably, now with Dragic there, is probably like five super above average players, but not superstars, right?
Yeah.
So you can kind of build a team in that sense. You know, your Luol Deng's or your, well, not Wade's, but, you know, Dragic is a good kind of above average player who can see that we get into another topic there because then, he kind of left Phoenix because he wasn't the man in Phoenix. So, yeah.
Well, we'll get into that.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. It's just 10%. I think OKC would recognize that they do have a team without Durant maybe now because Westbrook has come of age.
But if you're like OKC, aren't you doing everything humanly possible to keep Durant? Durant's pressing because it's like now.
So, it's the end of the season.
Yeah.
But we're back to where we started four years ago when you're like, can Durant and Westbrook play on the same team? They've kind of proven that when they're healthy, that's a 60-win team.
Yeah.
Every year, regardless. I don't know if Russell Westbrook's like coming of age or blowing up will change that too much. He may quite well be happy to like score 19, 20 points like he used to do and have like 17 assists he had the other night.
Yeah.
It's his career high. If Durant's scoring 29 and Westbrook's scoring 20 with like 6 rebounds and 7 assists, that's fucking all day. That's fine. And he'll live with that. Westbrook will live with that.
Well, I've been Team Westbrook since Jump Street.
Same.
All about it. I just worry that like you can see it happening in your brain that maybe Westbrook shoots him out of 2 playoff games and therefore out of a series and Durant might be like, all right, this isn't happening for me. Just like just a 2 game situation could like change everything. But
You think they're just going to want to move to a bigger market? Like, they just might go, well, Kobe's out next year. I'm going there. I'm going to be the man.
Well, and everyone's coming home as well. The sexy thing is to go
home.
Is homecoming.
Westbrook goes to L.A. Durant goes to Washington. OKC,
Durant's still going to make a decision, and Kobe's still going to be in L.A. next year. So, I don't see that happening. I don't see Durant and Kobe on the same team. For a year, maybe. Stranger Things. No. I don't see it. Anyway.
All right, let's move along. What do you think about this? Steve Kerr said he doesn't miss Marv Albert.
Is that taken out of context? How could you not? They were like dynamite together.
Maybe he's a bit creepy.
Maybe he's just having too much of a good time.
Yeah.
What are you doing now?
He's getting one back on Marv for sure. Marv used to ride him so hard. Yeah,
you know who else we forgot to talk about in terms of injury, mental injury?
Mm.
A little bit of Larry Sanders. Did you hear?
Yeah, Larry Sanders. Do you want to hear the little?
Let's hear
his
it.
Little quotation.
Give it to me.
I'm Larry Sanders. I'm a person. I'm a father. I'm an artist. I'm a writer. I'm a painter. I'm a musician.
Beekeeper.
And
I make jam.
Sometimes I play basketball.
I'm a handbag.
Yeah. So he said he's an artist, a painter, a writer.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of his work.
Sounds like James Franco.
Perhaps he's good. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
It's funny, like, you never want to hose on a dude who's got depression or anxiety or anything like that. But a lot of people were being, like, very nice about the way he's going about things. And, of course, you got to look after number one first. And I definitely don't blame him for bailing on the season. Mm. But you can't sugarcoat the fact that, you know, when you sign up to be a player, you're making a commitment to the other dudes in your team. You're working towards, like, a common goal. You're an employee of a company who brought you in to do a job that you agreed to do.
Who are paying you millions.
Yeah, and they're putting time and development into making you, like, the best version of yourself that you can be. And he just bailed on it.
Mm. They supported him through the glassing incident, through the smoking weed stuff, you know, when he got suspended twice.
Didn't he do something to his coach, too, or, like, somebody get him fired?
He put his dogs out, and he put two German Shepherd puppies out in the snow. Like, he checkered history, for sure.
Obviously, a little bit of a, you know, that all those issues kind of say, like, well, that's not super normal. Like, you shouldn't do that. Maybe there is something to it. But I'm kind of with you. I can see both angles on that. But it is a bit of a fuck you to everyone who's supported him for so long. Like, I'm just out. Like, have you even given it a good try? You know, have you even come back and told your teammates I'm struggling? Like, maybe the boys could help you with that stuff. Maybe the coaches could help you. But I don't know. We don't know the full story with
it, obviously. Jared Dudley said that they stayed in touch all the time.
Yeah, I listened to that.
When he was on a podcast. So
I just think, like, a lot of the time we're being very, very... We wrap our celebrities in, you know, alfoil or whatever the term is, you know, cling wrap. And
cotton,
like,
wool.
You're okay. Yeah, you're okay. You know, but at the same time, there'd be millions of people going through that shit who aren't nearly as lucky as him to be in that position. So I can't be totally on his side, but I don't know. It's an awkward one. You don't want to, like you said, you don't want to hose on a dude who's got mental issues, but...
What else did he say? You got something else there?
Go play for the Mavs. The next one was like, go jump off a cliff.
Instead of people being hating on him on the social medias and stuff like that, but you just have to stay away from that.
He should know that. The NBA have a policy into how to deal with those things. And,
oh, no doubt.
And get ready for this, because this is going to happen. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, his manager should be all over that,
You know, here's Magic Johnson to talk to you after you got AIDS. He'll let you know how many people told him to get fucked. And
but Isaiah Thomas, it doesn't matter, though, because every NBA player, they can stay away from, like, newspapers and all that shit, but every NBA player is on their Twitter account, 100%. And they'll see, like, all the hate come straight through in their hand, you know, after every game. They're on their phone as much as all of us.
Just the sucks for the Bucks as well, because, like, they got such a good thing going at the moment. And it's not every day that, like, 7-foot dudes who can run the floor and block shots. And
they just traded a 7-foot dude too.
Yeah, they're swimming in like little wingmen, but they could really use a couple of guys at size.
Yeah, it seems like they like gangly long dudes who are over 6'8".
Yeah,
that's
and hey, just one last little topical thing, Rabbit. You have a little bit of a beef with an NBA rule, I hear.
Well, it's like a good solution to a shit situation that's come to light. You know, like DeAndre Jordan shooting free throws the other night against the Spurs, and they were doing the Hacker Shack thing on him, and he's just putting up bricks. I think he was 6-14. Whatever. Like, that's how it is. And I heard Simmons talking about it, how it frustrated him too, because I remember watching going, this is shit. Like,
this is so shit.
And
Popovich loves it.
He has this idea. Well, he's just exploiting a strategy, a rule that has a loophole.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do it.
But
sure, he doesn't.
If it's beneficial to them winning and percentages and all that, you know how analytical those guys are. His option, Bill Simmons says, like in NFL, you can decline penalties. You know, like if it's you get the first down or whatever, and there's like, you know, interference on the defense, you can go, no, we'll decline that penalty because we got the first down, so we're gonna, you know, we don't want it. Mm. What about if you get fouled like that in that situation, you can go, nah, we don't want to shoot the free throws. We'll just have the ball from the side.
What about you can select
maybe you
anyone
can put
14, to shoot the free throw for
maybe you can put 14 on the shot clock and you can go, we just have the ball from the side and have 14 seconds.
Yeah, I think any of those, you've got to dissuade people from fouling away from the ball. It should be
great
two
idea.
Shots and the ball.
Yeah. So, well, like, also you use it as a clear path foul or a flagrant foul.
Yeah.
It's like, it is, because it's not a play on the ball. It's you're intentionally fouling. It's a professional foul, whatever you call it.
Even if you got the ball back, like even if DeAndre Jordan shot two free throws, they got the ball back, you wouldn't do it.
Yep.
So like that stops it right there. Like I just don't understand the benefit of it. Why would you encourage someone to foul off the ball?
You know, like they scrutinize the fuck out of those replays and like, oh, we're just checking for it to clear path foul. See you in half an hour, you know? It's fucking torture. Yeah. Yet that, something so blatant as that, where they're like, he definitely intentionally fouled him right there because he wants to foul him, so send him to the line. So that's an intentional foul. It's clear as fuck. So it's a pretty crazy double standard there. Mm-hmm. So fuck it off, you know? Do and that.
They,
do
they're
the,
planning
do the,
to, right? At the end of the year?
Are they? Well, I don't know about that.
It's part of the like competition committee or whatever. They're going to bring it up. But like it doesn't look good. Everyone's got to agree to it. And so if you've got the best free throw shooting team in the league, you'd be like, yeah, all day. We want to keep
it's
that
interesting
rule.
How you said they could. You could select the shooter. Mm. That would totally... of these options we just said would stamp it out. But yeah, totally.
Well, because like the solutions are there. It's just that no one wants to fix the existing problem. No one's there with that problem to go away.
I can't see how it's not like... such a glaring problem. Like, this is a massive issue. It's so bad for just casual fans watching the game. Like, why is this guy shooting free throws? Who the fuck wants to see DeAndre Jordan shoot like 14 free throws?
If you can't make a free throw, bro, like, don't go.
No,
don't play basketball.
I don't think
then,
that's like, you're punishing guys, you know, who can't shoot free throws. Like, you're punishing them for no real reason. You know, it's detrimental to... the offense is detrimental to the entertainment from the fans.
Yeah, why do you change the hand-checking rule to make the game better to watch?
Flow better, more entertaining.
So, yeah, that's if the goal is to make the game better to watch, then it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
And like you said, like why does having the ball make anything different? If you just like, if someone's got the ball and you go grab them around the chest and make no play for the ball, you get the ball back. So why, if you don't have the ball, does that situation change where it's just a common foul?
That's just all I wanted to say. I think it's stupid and it should be fixed.
I'm going
to
hit you guys with a hypothetical.
Yay.
Hypothetical. All right. So, All-Star's over. Business end of the season. You know, the rankings. You know who's top eight.
It's dog days right now.
You know, I'm going to hand you a genie lamp. You're going to rub it. You're going to get one wish. And it's, who do you want in the finals this year?
You want to go first?
You can go first, please. Chris.
You know who I'm going to say.
Golden State.
Probably Chicago.
Chicago?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, I want also, though, on the way to the finals, it would be sick if Curry hits like sort of a, you know, fadeaway walk-off three after sweeping the Clippers, you know, to win that series. Mm. Scratches Chris Paul's eyes out on the way, maybe, and then goes to the finals and beats the Bulls. And then Kerr's got a little ironic spin he can put on it because he beat the Bulls and shit. Perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to go Grizzlies.
Sweeping everyone, by the way.
The Grizzlies versus Atlanta. I just think it'd be a weird finals game. No huge superstar, you know, other than the center of the Grizz. But, like, I just think it'd be just great quality ball, like the Spurs finals last year. Just great passing, great inside game, great, just great. No superstar.
Yeah, textbook.
Adam Silver would probably want to rip your throat out for that. You wouldn't make him any money. Yeah. If we're talking, like, rubbing the genie lamp, can I switch conferences? Oklahoma City, like, somehow
the
squeezing their way over to the East and then coming from the bottom of the East.
It's your genie lamp, bro.
Well, they'd probably be fourth in the East at the moment.
Well,
yeah
I'd like... Who doesn't want to see seven games of Oklahoma City and Golden State?
Yeah.
In the finals.
For all the
marbles,
chips.
Bro.
That would be so epic. But in like, if it was East and West traditionally, I think Cleveland, Golden State, for me, I really want to see LeBron... getting back there, that'll be huge. Bringing a chip to
LeBron
Cleveland would be massive.
But just in terms of like the Cavs, out of the four best players in New York, they probably got two of them. You know, the best center for Denver, they got Kendrick Perkins, your favorite guy, right?
Fuck Kendrick Perkins.
But like, that's a lot of people. I mean, I don't remember. Do you think that's a bit of a...
Well, they just plugged the holes that they needed to do, and they did it well.
That's great.
They did super well.
Why can't the Suns... Can the Suns plug some holes then? You know? Can Utah plug some holes? No, because LeBron's there, so people come to him.
Sure.
Because he's got the market, sponsors, endorsements, blah, blah, blah.
At the end of the day, he's got the best chance to win a ring, you know?
I mean, obviously,
really?
The center of... What's his last name? I can't remember.
Mozgov.
Yeah, he played with the coach previously in Europe. I get it.
No, but he had... None of the players have any choice in the matter of where they're going. None of those guys chose to go there except for Kendrick Perkins. So it's like it's quality GMing by LeBron and also by whoever the fuck's doing it in Cleveland,
but
David Brown or whatever.
Mozgov at the time wasn't a like a prodigal son or like a missing link. It was like he was the best of a shit bunch at the time.
Yeah, but
and he's over-exceeded his like expectations. He's playing great and he's
coach
well, it's good team building. Yeah. You know? Like they had the core there. They had the three guys they're going to build it around. And I'll get into it when we talk about OKC later.
Yeah.
But they needed a big guy who could fucking catch hoops, roll to the hoop and protect the rim. They got that. They got the best one available. They needed someone who could add a bit of scoring off the bench, J.R. Smith. They got that.
Yep.
He's starting, whatever. They needed another wing defender so LeBron didn't have to guard the best player every time. They went and got that as well.
Yeah.
So it was
after
just like
getting three number one draft picks and pretty much the best player in the world.
Yeah, well,
it's a bit weird.
There were holes. There were holes there, and now the roster looks like an actual basketball team instead of just like a collection of dudes. You know, guys like Marion and Miller, they're not really core pieces, and they were billed as having to do something when they first arrived there. But it's, you know, they'd much rather have guys that actually serve a purpose.
I think it's super credible to Cleveland because they built this team at the start of the season. They recognized some things were off. Mm. They went out and fixed it, and they did it better than anyone in the league right now.
It's a willingness to spend the money because they have a legit chance to win a championship because LeBron's there.
Yeah, it's right.
So they're
going to
go over the cap. Yep. They're going to do whatever they can. They're going to mortgage their future draft picks and stuff because
definitely
they got a window right now. So they do whatever they can.
That's what Houston did.
Yeah, yep. And you're seeing that with a lot of teams.
All right, just wanted to ask.
Mm.
Yay!
Douche of the week, my favorite segment.
Yeah,
I'm going to start.
Okay, you haven't done one in ages, so
has anyone?
Give us some venom. Come on.
Okay, February 20th.
Oh, you got a date.
OKC versus Dallas. Okay. I've been watching a lot of Dallas games lately. I love it.
You're pretty high on Dallas, aren't you?
I just love it.
Amari's there now. That's all your wet dreams come true.
That's correct. Kevin Durant changed his shoes 3 times in a single game. The first game was specifically a marketing shoe that he wanted his fans to know that he had worn them. It's probably in a contract. You must wear these shoes.
Yeah.
Changed them again.
How did you even notice that? Did you notice that? Is that what you picked
it up?
Oh, you read it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I just think it's a bit douchey.
Yeah.
Don't change your shoes 3 times, man. Come on.
Would you want to wear a brand new pair of shoes?
Three times? No. Three different shoes?
I've had my new shoes for like a month and I still hate them.
Yeah.
I want them to feel like I've had them for 6 months.
Do they wear new shoes like every game?
I think they do, yeah.
Jaylen was saying on his podcast they do one practice in them and then he wear them at a game. But he wouldn't
and
wear
them. And that's it?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he maybe wear it like 2 games maximum and then he keep changing over.
I don't know how they do that. I guess you get used to it, but yeah, wow.
That's my douche. You know, Kevin Durant's amazing.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was a bit douchey. There wasn't really a thick pool of doucheness happening at the moment. It's all injuries and sadness and darkness. So all I'm going to go is, oh, you've been a douche, change your shoes 3 times. It's no big deal. Whatever. We'll move on
to get across the line.
That's fine
with me.
Mine's mellow. We were talking about it earlier, but I just don't think it's cool. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of what responsibilities you have as being the host of an All-Star weekend or like being the face of it or whatever. But from what I gathered, it didn't look like a whole lot. He's fucking kissing babies at a press conference. Yep. I don't care. Yep. You're paying him $120 million. You're on a 5-year plan now. You're learning a new
offense.
He just
got that contract like a month
or two ago.
The least
important thing is an All-Star game.
Yeah. And if it's his decision not to have surgery and like keep playing when he's hurt, then that's a bad business decision. And it's not in the best interest of him as a human being to play when he's hurt. And I think if you're going to spend your amounts of money like for this guy to play basketball for you, your number one priority should be having him in the best possible condition he could be.
Yeah.
And so if he could have surgery earlier, rehab longer, ease his way back into it and be ready to go better
next season. Like people are like, oh, he'll probably just go on for a couple of minutes and then go off. You know, and that would have been a little bit better if he just
minutes,
went on for a couple of minutes and then, hey, I made it. Yeah. Cool. You know,
he's putting up bricks
as well. Played like 36 minutes and missed everything.
Yeah, he was putting up bricks.
It's gross.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. But maybe no one told him. Maybe no one's got the balls to tell him. Derek Fisher, I wouldn't fucking listen to Derek Fisher. So
of course
maybe he's not. But, maybe it was up to Phil's. Like, Phil's like, they're asking the question, like, oh, you won all these rings as a coach, but you never were a GM. And, you know, so far, no one's really questioning him yet. But, like, why wouldn't he go down and see Melo? You think Melo would listen to him and go, man, we're locking you down now. Next season, I'm doing my shit. I'm bringing people, whatever magic I'm going to weave. It's happening, but we need you good for next season. So take the fucking surgery now. I think it's more like a lack of responsibility from Phil not telling Melo. Maybe he did and Melo was like, fuck you, I'm playing. I don't care. Maybe. But fuck, we don't know. But I agree with you.
It was sad almost.
Yeah.
Who's your douche?
Rondo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Rajon.
Yeah.
Just persistently.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, just the blow up with Carlisle on the sideline and shit. And, you know, I think Dallas got to know that they knew this was going to happen. At times, they know what they're in for with Rondo. He likes calling plays. He wants the ball in his hands. Carlisle apparently calls a lot of plays from the sideline. So they're bound to clash. But, you know, like, you come into a situation, a Dallas team that on paper are good, made some decent moves in the offseason. And, you know, they were sixth, you know, seventh floating along there. Yeah, I know you're high on VG.
Dude,
but like,
from third to sixth is the same record.
Yeah.
So
they're
arguably a third place or a sixth. It doesn't really...
Yeah, so, but you know what I mean, though? He came in and he's fucked with the chemistry massively. And you think if you come in, you'd be a bit more reserved and go... Especially when you're playing with guys like Nowitzki and Chandler,
you're
veterans.
And trying to get a max contract next year.
Yeah, and you're like, maybe I'll just be a team player here. I'll listen to the coach, you know, try and figure out this new offense, you know, get guys going. He's not shooting well. He's not attacking the rim. So, like, what are you doing? And you're disrupting the chemistry there.
He's being a cunt. Fuck. That's what he's been doing his whole career.
Mm. Yeah. So, I don't know if he's there next year after all this shit. He got benched for the rest of that game.
And suspended.
Oh, he's suspended for another game.
Yeah.
That's douchey, man. That's super douchey.
It's power douchey.
Yeah. It makes you look bad.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
These guys have a good rapport with Rick Carlisle as well. Everyone speaks super highly of him. There's a lot you can learn from a dude like that. Like, and I'm sure, you know, like, you see, we've seen Parker and Popovich have clashes. It's not unusual. And if this is like an isolated incident when they're just sort of getting together, then that's cool.
Yeah, but you might have expected it, and this is healthy, work out the kinks.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't see it at all, like, with Rondo. He doesn't strike me as the same type of player
He's
Parker is. You know, Parker has humility. I don't think Rondo has much.
To the Clippers, you reckon?
No.
Rondo to LA. Well, you know, maybe. I don't. At this rate, Dallas probably won't want him.
All right, so I'm going to hit you with our other segment, yes or no's. I'm going to do one more hypothetical, and then we're over. We're done.
Yeah.
And I just want to remind you again, if you're listening to this on iTunes, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you're into Facebook.com/FCP podcast. All right, yes or no. Magic Johnson says Kobe Bryant should say he's retiring if the Lakers don't sign a star this summer. Do you agree? Yes or no? Bagman.
No. I don't think he should retire, and he's not retiring, so that's what's up.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I think at this stage of the game, if you're that much of an all-time legend like him, you should be able to go out on your own terms whenever the fuck you want. I wouldn't let any ex-player tell me when I can and can't retire.
Especially Magic. Yeah. Like, how many comebacks did you do on his terms? Like, I'm going to come back and play. Okay, all right. It's going to be terrible, but okay.
Yeah.
Twice. And it sucked.
Yeah.
The organization probably shouldn't have paid Kobe that much money.
Mm.
And maybe you could argue that he could have taken a paycheck if he really wanted to win another chip.
Mm.
But he's within his rights to take as much as he can get. He knows, like, he's a basketball player. That's all he's got going for him. And he's also a business. He's trying to make as much money as humanly possible. And he wants to be the best player in a championship team. And he probably will still think that when he's 55.
Yep.
And
Jordan,
whatever Jordan thinks, he's right on board with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Magic should stick to running the Dodgers or whatever, I think. He's got his business brain on there.
All right. Yes or no, number two. Are LeBron James and Kevin Love mates?
Yeah, I reckon they are.
Yeah? You think they...
I reckon no.
I reckon
really?
They're not mates at all.
You don't communicate via tweets.
Nah.
You saw that whole thing, right? LeBron was like, stop worrying about fitting out, fit in, because something that K-Love said at the start of the season. And he's like, that wasn't about K-Love. And then K-Love hit 8 threes in the game. He's like, yeah, it was about K-Love. I said it. I got him going. Mates wouldn't give sly jabs over Twitter.
Perfect example, Kobe and Howard.
Rubbish. I give you shit on Facebook all the time if I can. Slight jabs
Not
and
professionally.
Shit.
Do you think I would be like Glass Avenue?
Mm, yeah, I don't know. I think he's having a bit of fun with it.
I think a perfect example is the Kobe Howard little bitch fest on Twitter. That all went down via Twitter. They never even spoke to each other.
Yeah.
If you're talking through social media, you can't be that close.
Yeah,
but that's only... How do you know they're not talking as well? You know, like, they might be doing that there, but how do you know he didn't call him up afterwards and go, fuck you, man. Fuck you. What are you doing? You fucking stop breaking my balls. How do you know? LeBron's that type of dude. You've seen him with his teammates and stuff. He likes getting everyone involved. He's always got, like, big on the chemistry of a team. I don't reckon they have a mad beef. I reckon that's just a little bit of a jab publicly. I don't think that's...
I would never do, like, if we were, like, I wouldn't tweet out to... If we had thousands of followers, I'd be like... You know, Rabbit's been sort of fucking handbagging it on the podcast lately. And they have to do it, you know, like without
true.
Saying...
What if it was true? Is it true?
Is it true? In the next episode, you just check killed
Twitter,
it.
I'm, check just not, Twitter I'm just not here. Yeah, check my Twitter.
All right, well, that okay. leads me to question
number... Same Twitter. FCP.
Right now, I'm Kobe and you're the rest of Lakers.
Okay. You're right. Josh Smith, bro. Yeah. Remember that.
All right. So, let's say the Cavs don't win the finals this year. Do you think... Kevin Love's going to stay in Cleveland. I'm a genie in a bottle, baby.
That's hard. That's super hard. It depends where they get knocked out, I reckon.
Yeah.
And depends like how he's... He's been playing pretty good, though. He's been getting his.
He's a great
no
player.
Matter what. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't he go for 7, 8 threes the other
yeah,
day?
Yeah, he hit 8 threes the other night.
I don't know. It's better than Minnesota. So, you know, like...
is the segment called I Don't Know, Cunt?
Come yeah. on. Yes or no?
No.
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 He's not leaving.
He's not leaving.
I don't think he's leaving either.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
We all agree with each other. Come on.
Maybe a bit of handshake all right. thing.
And to wrap up the All-Star, best uniforms ever in an All-Star game, officially, yes. I think we all...
I think that... I think they've got the best uniform I've ever seen of any team ever.
Because yeah. they're it. So minimal.
They're so minimal. Yeah. I got no problem with your first name and last name on the back. That makes it your own personal thing. You know, like Johnson, whatever. Everyone's been Johnson. You can do whatever number you want. You can, full name on it. Johnson. Minimal, stars, bold, colors, black.
Yeah.
I love it, man. You. I reckon it's so fucking cool.
I'm saying a very close second. To those,
don't say the Arizona fucking cactus ones.
They were so epic. The one Jordan got his MVP in.
Was that that? Or this blue with the
star?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Only because they were terrible, not because they were great.
Oh. All right. Sounds like it's a no.
Terrible.
That is terrible! That is terrible!
They were. That's why they're number one. Anyway,
that was hilarious.
Go on. Worth it.
You know, one thing we didn't talk about in the All-Star game was the USA versus the world. You guys a fan of that versus sophomores and freshmen?
Don't care.
Yeah, if I cared, like out of the two, I reckon it's better.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's the same thing. Do I want to see fucking Gorgie Deng hit an open layup? No.
Respect. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, big up.
George Karl's now coach of the Kings. Do you like it? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Everyone loves George Karl. Yeah, who's going to say no to that?
At least he'll get Boogie under control.
And the last yes or no, it's all been about analytics lately. Do you guys believe in analytics? Do you believe in analytics?
Oh, this is Barkley, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you
believe in analytics?
100%.
Yeah. Do you notice how many people are hating on Barkley lately?
I've been hating on Barkley. I told you years ago. He's had a stroke and no one's known about it. And he's just up there talking dribble and no one's calling him out. People are starting to now.
Boogie's taking it too far. You can't say, like, I don't respect that dude and I never will. Like, at the very least, the dude was a beast of a basketball player.
Yeah, I'm not dissing that. I'm just saying it's time maybe to look at a new guy up there. He's had a good run.
The TNT audience is Charles Barkley. Perfect.
But they love the dynamic with Kenny giving him shit, and they got such a history, Shaq and Barkley, and they're talking up there together, you know.
I think it's glorious.
Anything's probably a downgrade, even though he's going senile, you know, it doesn't matter.
He's not going senile.
He's going senile hard.
He's a comedian. He's been on Saturday Night Live 3 times.
You're
going
to see the left side of his face retire.
Watch
his
space, dude. I'm telling you.
All right. It's time for the final segment. One more hypothetical.
All right.
This is something warm to my heart. I don't know if you guys know, but they're going to remake the movie Kickboxer. Do you remember that one?
Oh,
it was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Knock so cow.
I know you're excited about it, but it's a remake and all the rehashing.
Dude, Jean-Claude
Van Damme,
he's going to be the sensei.
He's in it.
Yeah. Do you remember when they
so it's not
the
OG?
And the glass and the nails.
Yeah, definitely. I remember the soundtrack. Amazing.
No, he's going to be in it, but like as an older character. We listen to it at work every morning. That's how we start our day.
So good. So it's not a remake per se. It's different.
Reboot's continuation.
It's complete reboot, I think, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's a sensei, you said just now.
He's in it, but he's a different character in it. So he's not going to be the kickboxer. He's going to be like maybe the old guy that's like in a wheelchair going, you listen to me and I know karate, you know, whatever.
I don't.
Whatever. Yeah, okay. They're doing it. It's okay. Not. I'm not asking if you like the movie or not, okay? Yeah. Or if you're excited about it. But if you could have any two players in the NBA currently playing out of all 500 fight each other, square off in a kickboxer style match, dipping their hands in nails, and who would you choose?
You can go first.
Well, Mung's as a result of the recent Grizzly Sacramento Kings game between Zebo and the Boogeyman, DeMarcus Cousins, squaring off. And I was, for a moment there, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. And I reckon Boogeyman backed down a little bit. Like,
yeah, he's not an idiot.
Yeah.
He is an idiot. Yeah. But
he kicked a chair and almost hit a person in the audience after that. Like, he was furious about getting no calls. It was a very intense game. But I'd love to see that.
Who wouldn't? That's a great choice.
Yeah.
That would be
just a heavyweight just title like fight right to the there. Death. Yeah.
What about you, Bagman?
Russell Westbrook, Tony Allen.
That's great.
Yeah.
That would be a crazy fucking Tasmanian devil, just blood and sweat and
hair and
shit.
Like the way.
Those guys, like the type of dudes who wouldn't stop even though they lost an arm and shit.
Yeah. Just like,
cut me down an arm, but I don't care.
Get back in there.
If someone's biting someone, I can see some eye gouging. Sure. Just be no holds barred. It'd go for like 24 hours. It'd be crazy. One man would walk out of that.
Probably not walk. Crawl out. Yeah.
What about you, Rabbit?
Well, I think there's already one that's there. It's been agreed to. There's got to pick a date in the purse, I reckon. Karl Malone and Kobe Bryant.
Oh, beautiful.
They've already called it out. Karl Malone's waiting, apparently. Didn't you see that hick interview with him?
I'll accept it. He's not a current player, but you guys love Karl Malone so much, so why don't we go with it?
It's disgusting. And he made a pass on Kobe's wife, and he's sitting there all like noble going, I take care of business. If we got a problem, we'll go out back and use our fists and wank, wank, wank. I'm a hit.
He's old school. He's 55 years old.
He's a redneck fuck.
Yeah,
he's got
nothing else going on.
He's shooting animals and just being a complete fuck.
It'd be sick if Kobe goes, all right, bro, I'll fight you. And he's just got a blade in his sleeve and just knife
Assassin's Creed
from the
get-go.
And he's dead. And he's like, yeah.
I killed
him. Handle that, mailman.
Rabbit, on record, I wish the mailman was dead. That's pretty much what you just said.
Yeah, mailman.
I said he got knifed, and I said Kobe would say, handle that, mailman. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Put in quotes, cunt.
Carl would dip in the nails, and he would put on all five of his rings, Kobe, and just knock him the fuck out.
Totally.
All right, that's all for this week's podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.